All right, Book of Ruth, chapter number one. I just want to read a few verses to you. It says, Ruth chapter number one, verse number six, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two children, or her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we need your help now. Lord, I want to thank you for everyone here this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for this time. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless the teaching of your word anywhere else, Lord, anywhere in the whole world, Lord, where it's being taught in truth. And Lord, I just pray that you would take these words and apply them to the hearts, Lord, and help us to be better Christians, Lord, for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help hearts as only you can. Lord, I'm just a man. I can't minister to the hearts. Only you can. You know what's needed, Lord. And we pray that you would take your word with your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, and help as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise for it, Lord Jesus, and all the glory, Lord. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. I want to speak to you briefly on the subject of a mother who got right. A mother who got right. This book of Ruth right here is named after Ruth. But I want to tell you this morning that Naomi had a huge influence in the life of Ruth. Naomi steered Ruth right. And you know what people like? People like happy endings. Any movie that you watch, you watch a lot of TV, and it's got a happy ending to it. If it's any kind of movie worth watching. You know why? Because the Bible has a happy ending. And this story right here has a happy ending because of somebody who had a good influence in the life of somebody else. You're going to see also that, yes, she went out in chapter 1 there, and you're going to see that because she went out, she dried out, but she didn't die out. That's what I like about this story right here. You're going to find out that in the first few verses of this book right here, Book of Ruth, Naomi and her children, her husband, her children, they left the place of God there, and they went out for about 10 years there and stayed out in a place called Moab. And they stayed out there, and some of them died and things like that. And I want you to know that's what goes on when people get out. People die, and people die spiritually. A lot of people just dry out on God. And this lady got to the place there where she was out of the place where God wanted her to be, and guess what happened? She got hungry. She got to a place there where people around her were dying and things bad were happening. And that verse I read to you in verse 6, that the Bible said she had heard in the country of Moab, somebody had to have came to that country and told her and said, hey, there's bread there back where God's people are. You know what happens? If you're going to get right, people get to say, hey, there's bread back over there, something to eat over there, some provision back home. And you know what happened? Just like that prodigal son, he realized everything he needed was back at the house. You know what you're going to find out? Everything you need is back where God is, where God wants you to be. Now let me tell you something. You're going to find out here a picture of a lady who goes and she gets right with God. And because she got right with God, Ruth met Boaz, and you got a happy ending to this thing. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't easy. You know what, oftentimes you'll get out of the place with God, and you're not with God where you should be, and you know your relationship's not right with God, you're not reading your Bible, and you're not praying, and you're not serving the Lord, and you're not doing the thing God knows that you're supposed to be doing, and you know what happens there? Some bad things start to happen in your life. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved and you're out doing things with this world, the flesh and the devil, you're not going to enjoy that life like that. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit takes the glitter out of sin. Yes, yes, a Christian can do all kinds of things. I'm talking about terrible bad things too. And you're not going to lose your salvation, but you'll lose the joy of your salvation. And it's not going to be easy coming back. But there's going to be a happy ending if you do. If you do, I want you to see, first of all, she decided to return, and it wasn't an easy return. She decided to come back. She said, "Hey, I heard there in the country, there at Moab, the Lord's visiting His people of bread. I'm going to go back. This is bad out here." I thank God that there's some people out there that's got enough sense to realize it's bad out there in the world. Let me tell you what this world will chew you up and spit you out. The world don't love you, and this world, I tell you something, these kids come up in this world nowadays, if they're not coming up around Christians, and if they don't come up knowing how to discern evil from good, this world will tear them up and spit them out, and they don't care about them.
Amen.
You know what? We got to encourage people in the Lord. Why? Because this world don't care about you.
Amen.
And here she is, at least she decided to come back. Now I want you to notice something there. She saw some discouragement. If you're going to come back, you're going to meet with discouragement. The first thing you're going to meet with is discouragement. You know what? There's discouragement here as far as salvation is concerned. You know what? The devil never told me I was lost until I got saved.
Amen.
Isn't that something? The devil never said, you're lost. Before I was saved. But when once I got saved, the devil said, "Did you believe right whenever you believed? Did you have enough faith whenever you had faith? Did you come to the Lord the way He..." I did what He said do in His Word, and He did what He said He was going to do in His Word. I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, a poor, rotten sinner, a wretch like me, the Bible said. And guess what? I looked on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trusted Him, what He did for me, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith and trust in what He did for me on the cross, and guess what? I'm saved! Now you say, "Well, I just don't think you're saved, Brother Che." Well, it don't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. I'm saved whether you like it or not. Well, you live like a devil. It don't matter what you think I live like. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me, and He died for all my sins.
Amen.
Not for some of them.
That's right.
I thank God the Lord Jesus Christ did it, because if I did it, it wouldn't be done right. And if it was up to me to hold my salvation up, I'd lose it every 3 seconds or quicker than that. I tell you what, you're going to meet with some discouragement if you're going to come back. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible said she was in the Moab. Some discouragement there. I want you to notice verse number 9 says, she said to these two daughters, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Notice verse number 14, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again." You know what you're going to find? Discouragement. Weeping is a characteristic of Moab. Yeah, you're going to have some weeping here and there, but let me tell you something. This crying all the time, these people go through these terrible things that could be prevented. A lot of that's Moab. That's because they're down in Moab. The way of transgressors is hard, the Bible says. Deuteronomy 34, verse 8 says, "And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Every time you find Moab, you find that weeping there. You know what you'll find out in this world? People who are down in Moab are always upset about something. Upset about something. And y'all, you know what you'll find out? If you'll come out of that stuff, the right thing will upset you. You know what gets me? This world gets upset over worldly things instead of spiritual things.
Yeah.
You know what ought to upset you? Not temporal things. It ought to upset you that a lost and dying world, somebody's going to hell every second somebody dies, and people are dropping off into hell left and right, and that don't upset that. You know what upsets us? Having to sit in the traffic light for 5 minutes.
Amen.
You know what upsets us? Having to go down a bumpy road and having to get their vehicle dirty and a hard time paying our bill. Those things upset us. Yeah, that upsets us. You know what happens there? Why? We're not focusing on the eternal things.
Amen.
Y'all, we've got to get to the place we focus on eternal. Thank God we're here this morning.
Amen.
Man, we're able to come here with our family and things like that. Got the health to be able to be here. I got eyes that work and hands that work and feet that carry me. And that's that we forget those things.
Amen.
You know what? You get down there in Moab and you get to complaining about this and complaining about that and complaining about the other thing. And before long, it's all the time just pouting and whining all the time. Like a baby.
Amen.
Y'all, she had got down in there. At least she decided to return. But she met with some discouragement. You're going to do the same thing. If you decide to come back, the devil is going to try to get you to be discouraged. Another thing, too, she lost her discernment. Verse number 13, she says this, "Would you tarry for them till they were grown?" Speaking of their daughter, she says, "I don't have any sons for you now." And speaking of the sons, she said, "Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Hold on just a minute now. The Bible never said the Lord's hand was against her. She was against her own self. You know what? Adam and Eve fall in the garden, and Eve said, "It was the woman you put here with me."
And Eve said, no, it was that serpent's fault. And the devil looks around and goes, I don't have anybody to blame. You know what happens? We get to blaming the Lord and everybody else. You know, that's Moab right there. She lost her discernment. You know what, this morning, if you're out in Moab, you can't tell your right hand from your left. You just think you can.
That's right.
You get out there and you get to thinking, well, it may be this, and it's the Lord's fault. If you ever think it's the Lord's fault, you better check again. Why? Because it's our sins that does the thing. You know what we got to do? Look in the mirror and say, what did I do?
There you go.
Yeah, our biggest enemy is ourself, not the Lord. You know, let me tell you something. The Lord is there to help you. He'll if you will come to Him, just like that father had his arms out for that prodigal son, He will come and wrap His arms around. The Bible says that the father went to meet the prodigal son.
That's right.
But you know what happens? We get out there and we get darker and darker and darker. And before long, we've been out so long and say, well, I've done been out this long. What's the use of going back now? You know what happened? You lose your discernment.
That's it.
Old Jerry Clower, he tells a story about some dogs there eating okra. And he was talking about that old slimy okra. And he said, man, a lot of times we throw that old scraps out to the dogs. And he said, all our dogs came up there. And he said, old Highball came up there first. And he said, he came up to that old bowl with those scraps in there. And he just slurped up those okra. And he said, he looked around, that okra was gone. He started jumping on this dog, jumping on that dog. What happened? He ate the okra. He lost his discernment. He's jumping on everybody else thinking it was their fault. It's his fault.
Right.
You know what happens? Oftentimes things come up in our life and we start blaming other folks for the things that happen in our life.
That's right.
You know what happened? That's that you lost your discernment.
That's it.
You're biting this one and biting that one and devouring this one and devouring it, and it's your fault and not the other dog's fault. You know what happens down there? That's what Moab would do to you. That's how you can tell if you're away from the Lord. Do you blame everybody else when something happens? Or do you say, Lord, how can I fix this? Lord, what do I need to do to get this fixed? Why? You get down there in Moab and you get so discouraged down there by yourself, and you'll have your own pity party down there. Not only that, but she met with division. Division. Verses 14 and 15 says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Why did she let her go back to her gods? Return thou after thy sister-in-law. She said, hey, she went to some other gods. You go on and go with her. You see how she's lost her discernment, and now division that don't even need to be there is there. You know what happens? People do that. You're down there in Moab. If you're encouraging other people to do anything other than serve the Lord Jesus Christ and get close to the Lord, you're down there in Moab. Now today, if you're not encouraging people to get close to the Lord, you're either gathering or scattering. That's one of the two there. You say, man, that's not a good Mother's Day message. We're getting somewhere with this. Y'all, but I'm telling you today that there's so many people that's been a discouragement in the lives of others instead of an encouragement. They're actually encouraging them to go off and do other things. And I'm going to tell you something, we can do that stuff. Why? Run people off. You'll run people off with that bad attitude and say, I'll just go do whatever. Y'all, we ought not be like that. We ought to be, hey, I'd like to see you serve the Lord. I'd like to see you get close to the Lord. Why? Because we ought to have a care and a concern. You know what's so wrong? People are so apathetic nowadays. They don't care how, just whatever. Whatever they think's fine. Man, well, how about praying for them? Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. We don't pray near enough for lost souls. That's me and anybody else. You know why? Because there's so many people, we know lost family members that need prayer. That need prayer. And y'all, if we're not praying for them, you know what we're saying? We wouldn't say it out loud. They'll make their own way. Just go off and find your own gods, and you may find your own way. You know, like Oprah Sinfrey, she says, well, everybody's got their own way, you know. And everybody watching that stuff, and Ellen DeGeneres and all these folks, and reading Cosmopolitan magazine. That's why they think the way they do.
Amen.
Why, that trash going in their mouth. You put trash in and think trash is not going to come back out.
Right.
It's going to come out.
Right.
Watching the television and listening to Barf Brooks and all that stuff. That stuff will mess your mind up.
Amen.
He said, oh, well, no, I'm telling you, it will. It'll mess up your discernment, and you'll have unneeded division.
That's right.
Unneeded division. Now, I want you to see this thing right here. Why? That's all those things are down in Moab. But I want you to see that her zeal, when she came back, her zeal was rekindled. If you will come back, if you just come back, you know what's wrong with some folks? Some of you need, you're down there in Moab, and if you come back, you have a zeal for God because you came back. Man, you're talking about a blessing, man. I'm telling you, the Lord can turn situations around, and He can turn your heart around, and you're thinking good again. Get your thinking right. Watch this. She had a changed attitude. Her zeal was rekindled. In verse number 19, she came back and it says this. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Oh, there's the house of bread right there. They're getting somewhere now. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Well, she came back there. And now they're asking about Naomi and things like that. And you're going to see there that she had a change in attitude there.
Amen.
She said, well, the Almighty's done bitterly with me down there in verse 20 and things like that. And I see that, and sometimes you're still getting over the bitterness. But at the same time there, you're going to find out that she gets a zeal that's rekindled. And I think it was in verse number 19 through 20 there, you're going to see how she's come back. And the Bible says in verse number 22 at the bottom of the verse, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. They came back in the main time when there was a harvest there.
Yeah.
You know what? God can get you back at the time, just in the time when you need to be back. You say, well, what if I wait till tomorrow? I may wait till next week to get right or something like that. I'm telling you, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is the best day. Here in just a little bit, you're going to see her attitude change. And it says in verse chapter 2, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. You know what's happening? They're running into some blessings now. Now the one who followed her is running into Boaz. Now the one who followed her is starting to find a type of Christ. Boaz in the Bible is the type of Christ. She's starting to find the blessings.
That's right.
Her zeal starts being rekindled here in these chapters there. She's starting to get a better attitude. You're going to see as you start reading through there, I don't have time to go through there, but she starts saying this is blessed and that's blessed in the text and things like that. Why? She's starting to realize, hey, the blessings are here. Thank God for the blessings. You know what you're going to find out? It's whenever you come back, it'll start changing your attitude. Some people are just so bitter. You ever talk to some of them? You got the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Joy of the Lord. You don't sound like you got. You know, some of these people just so, they're just so, why? It just pours out of them. Why? They're just bitter at the world. Everybody else can see it but them. Y'all, I'm telling you that if you'll come back, you'll come back to the Lord and start getting that old fire rekindled with the Lord, it'll help your attitude. Why? A lot of people can see your attitude. A lot of times we have a bad attitude and we can't see it, but they can.
That's right.
I can tell you this right here. I can read this story about Naomi and start seeing her attitude. She's starting to look up. She's starting to say, hey, things are looking up now. You know what, in your life, I just wonder there, you come back to the Lord, things would look up on the inside. All of us can paint a smile on and make out like things are okay. Every one of us can sit in here and say, yeah, everything's fine. Oh, I'm doing fine, you know. We know what to say. But on the inside, are you really doing well on the inside? How's your attitude whenever you're not around anybody else? People say, well, give me a good reference, Chase. I go to church with you. Look, all I know is you on your best behavior in here. But I can tell you something. When you're by yourself, that's who the real you is. Look, your reputation is what everybody else thinks you are. Your character is what God knows you to be. And I can tell you something. That's on the inside, and that's between you and God, and only you know what's going on there. She has an attitude change. I want you to see there as well, she is now having some trustworthy advice. She starts telling Naomi there, In verse number chapter 2, verse number 22, it says, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. She starts telling them, hey, look here. You make sure you stay in Boaz's field and not out there with the other young ones around there. You know what? You better watch who you run around with. Why? Because that can give you a bad testimony. She said, Ruth, you want to be in good with Boaz? Don't be running around with that other group over there. You stay in his field. You know what happens? She's starting to give her good advice. You know what we better do? We better give these youngsters some good advice whenever they come to us. Why? I say, that person right there will drag you down and she'll drag you in the dirt or he'll drag you in the dirt. Why? Because we need to be trusted to tell people, hey, that's a bad situation if they ask us. Now, not to say we just go interject ourselves in other people's lives. Unsolicited advice is always bad. I understand that. But at the same time, if they come to us and ask us some things, we need to be able to give them some good advice. Be trusted with godly advice. Here she is now that she's came back, her zeal's rekindled, her attitude has changed, and she's got some godly advice. And y'all, we ought to be able to give some godly advice to people. Man, especially mothers and fathers, we should be able to be in that Bible enough to have some answers if people come to us. Now, you see that thing's changing there. Now, I want to show you another thing here to end up. She got some good rewards. She got some good rewards. I want you to notice there in Ruth chapter number 4, that you're going to see that others saw her get through a fiery trial. Trial of faith. Verse number 15 says, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." You know what she's doing? She's going through there and she has had a trial of faith through this whole thing she's gone through. You go read that book there. I just skimmed through the thing a little bit with you. But she has went through the whole thing of going out and losing family members and stuff like that. And she's come back with the Lord now. And now she's got her zeal rekindled. She's got a good relationship with the Lord. And other people saw her go through that thing. Amen. And now they're saying, hey, You're gonna be blessed because of this thing. She's not saying it. Other people are saying, you know what? Other people need to see you go through things so they can praise God for it. Sometimes you have things go on in your life and you say, why in the world did that happen there? I hate the fact that happened. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not because of, we always think it's just us. Maybe God is wanting somebody to see you go through something so you can help those folks. Amen. These folks right here saw her go through that thing and said, man, you're going to be blessed because of this. You know what? We put everything on us and say, it's all about me. It's all about me. Y'all, we got to remember, we've got a Lord in heaven there who is trying to help other people. And we may be the vessel that's trusted with being able to go through that thing. You think about Job. He said, the devil comes up there and the Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Job? My, what a statement. What if he said that to you? Put your name in that passage there and say, hast thou considered my servant? Enter your name there. Could the Lord say anything about you in that respect? Could the Lord come up there and say, hey, if you check my servant out down there? Good serving me pretty well, huh? I tell you, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
That's right, bro.
That's a scary thought. Those devils over there in Acts, they knew Paul, but they didn't know those other ones. And the Bible said they went out naked and wounded. He said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who art thou? They didn't know who he was. What I'm saying is, Paul was known in hell. Well, even the devils knew about Paul. Why? Because he's serving God. Y'all, people ought to see us go through things like a Christian goes through things.
Yeah.
Y'all, you're going to get out in your work week and you're going to have things happen. And you're going to have things happen that you don't like, just like I do. And you know what? We got to remember when we're going through those things, somebody needs to see how a Christian goes through that thing and how a Christian handles that thing. Why? So they'll see a good testimony.
Amen.
She got the blessing there of being able to be a good testimony, others seeing her go through a fiery trial. With us, I can't tell you how many times I failed that, but you know what? Our goal ought to be, we want to be in a place with our relationship with the Lord. If the Lord can trust us to go through things like that, that way we can show the Lord how, hey, Lord, I love you enough to go through the thing for you.
Amen.
And y'all, I'm going to tell you something there. That's hard to go through, but she went through it. She got a blessing there. Not only that, but she got the blessing of a good finish. In verse number 15, you'll see again that she's finished there with a good testimony. You know what you're going to find out? It's how you finish a thing. It's how you finish. You know what? Right now, maybe some of you here this morning doing pretty well. I hope you are. But how are you going to be doing in 10 years from now? You know what? People remember fallen stars, don't they? But they don't remember the ones that are still up there right now. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Everybody talks about, you see that shooting star? You know that's how they are with people. Oh, so-and-so failed. Oh, so-and-so failed. Oh, so-and-so messed up over here. And oh, so-and-so messed up over there. And David did it. You remember what David did? Let me tell you something. David did mess up big time, but David did a lot of good things too. Don't forget. Don't always dwell on all the bad everybody did. You remember, hey there, people do some good things too. Don't always drag up their past all the time. What I'm telling you is this right here. We ought to try to finish well. Paul told Timothy there he was faithful to the faith, the fight, and the finish. And that's how we ought to be. We ought to get to the place where we want to finish this thing. You know what I want to do? I pray that God would let me die on the battlefield. I want to die out there serving the Lord. I want to die maybe witnessing to somebody or something like that. I don't want to die in a place, maybe I served 10 or 12 years and then the last several years of my life live like the devil. I don't want to do that. Y'all, we ought to be to the place where you want to serve. You want to be the type of mother, or you want to be the type of father who goes out there and they remember you reading your Bible, and they remember you going to church, and they remember you talking about the Lord, and they remember you as somebody who loved the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you imagine them sitting around there. Yeah, I remember old Daddy. He used to sit on the front porch, and he loved his beers. You know, that's a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Old Daddy, you know, he loved his backer. You know. Around here, that's stuff I've heard. I've heard that. You know how he loved his backer. Y'all, we ought not be like that. That's just how folks are, aren't they?
That's right.
And old mama, she was mean as a cuss, but she was mama, you know. Y'all, we ought not be like that. It ought to be the... Man, I tell you what, mama, she had love. She had a love in her... Mama would get you up, man, if you were sick, and mama would be there with you. And I used to think that mama couldn't even get sick. Mom, because she loved you, and she would pray with you, and Mama would read a Bible verse with you. Mama would go to church with you. Why? Because you're going to want that good testimony. She finished well. I'll tell you something, y'all. We ought to be focused on the finish. While looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Y'all, if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to get us off track and we're going to finish just like the world finishes.
Amen.
Let me tell you something to humble you. Do you know that every one of us are going to live our life and that we're going to die and millions and billions of people are never going to even know we existed?
That's right.
Amen.
There's billions of people right now don't even know I even exist. So you know what? I hope that the ones who do know me, whenever I pass off from here, if the Lord don't come back between now and then, will remember me as somebody who loved the Lord. Why? That's something that's going to last on the other side. If you want to invest this morning in something that'll last from now on, that's going to be your service to the Lord and others remembering you serving the Lord. Hey, she served the Lord. She loved the Lord. You got a lot of these devils nowadays, they don't care anything about the Lord and they don't care how they were remembered. Now, this is another thing too. The one she helped has offspring in the royal family. That's what I like about that.
Amen.
Look here in chapter 4 and verse number 18. It says this. Now these are the generation of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. You say, what about all these names here? It's something important. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David.
Amen.
Now guess what happened? David ends up having a lineage there, and you can trace Jesus Christ back to David.
Amen.
So you know what the blessing of that thing is? This lady came back, and she got back in the relationship with the Lord, and guess what happened there? Because of that relationship, you can trace that thing back to Christ.
That's right.
Now, you know what would be nice? You get right with the Lord, and guess what happens? Out there in eternity, it says, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you get to read some begats, and it was because you got right with the Lord that other people are in the line of Christ, other people are in Jesus Christ, other people got saved. Wouldn't it be a blessing there? You get right with the Lord, and you start leading people to Christ, and you start being a good influence with your family and your kids, and you get to heaven, and you go up there, and I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but man, somebody starts running towards you, and man, you say, what is going on? I'm going to get football tackled here, what? And somebody comes up to you and runs up and just grabs you up and picks you up and says, I'm so glad that you told so and so about Christ, and because they told somebody else about Christ and I got saved because of that, I wanted to let you know that.
Amen.
Y'all, you talking about a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something there. You imagine somebody get up there to heaven. There are going to be people that get up there like this too. You imagine you get up there and you never told anybody about Jesus Christ. And you get up there and these other folks up there. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You led somebody to Christ. And praise the Lord. You supported them and they got a track at y'all. It's all kind of ways to get connected. It a lot of times you're involved in a thing even though you're not involved directly.
Amen.
But you imagine somebody get up there and they get to looking around and all that's going on. And nobody comes up to them and gives them a big old hug for that. They're there.
Amen.
They're there. But they're just there. You know what that Bible says? Some people are going to be saved, yet so is by fire. They'll get there with their coattails smoking. Amazing, man. You know what? We ought not be like that.
Amen.
Man, we ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. I wish He'd come back today.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. There's blessing with the Lord. You say, well, what about all this stuff? I'm telling you this right here. This world's passing away. Today, I'd like to see every one of you full of joy. I didn't say happiness. Happiness is based on what happened. I'd like to see you full of joy. And you know what that joy is? That joy is found in you getting close to the Lord. And as you walk with the Lord will lead you to the right place. The right road leads to the right place. People, look, you're not going to find happiness looking for happiness. Happiness is found on the road of doing what's right.
Amen.
You'll find it there.
That's right.
Y'all, I'm telling you right now, if you want it, the Lord's got it there for you. Will you go find it with the Lord? Will you come back?
That's
Don't
right.
you want that rekindled fire? Hey, have you ever had a time in your life where you couldn't wait to sit down with your Bible? Maybe you just bought a book and you want to compare that book with the Bible and you want to get down there and have a big old study. Have you ever had that in your life?
Right,
if it's not there now, you need to get back to it.
That's right, brother.
If there's ever been a time in your life where you were closer to God than you are right now, to that degree, you're backslidden.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. This preacher's telling you the joy is there with the Lord. The joy is finding your strength in the Lord. That's where the joy is. I'm trying to point you to the Lord. Why? Because He's the only place you're going to find that rekindling.
That's right, brother.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that something was said to be a